God's house this morning. I am thankful for the opportunity to get here and preach. I'm undeserving. But what an honor it is to be able to stand behind this desk and preach the gospel this morning. If you got your Bibles this morning, if you would, turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. I preached out of the book of Revelation on Wednesday night, but if you would, turn to the book of Revelation again. Chapter 3. We'll read a few verses there in chapter 3, and we'll begin to read in verse 18. And if you got your Bibles and you're ready to do it, and you found it, if you would stand in reverence to the Word of God. All right. Verse 14. And the Bible says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and I have needs of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou may seest. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come unto him and will sup with him, and he will with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith into the churches." Lord, we come to you this morning. Thank you, God, for this opportunity to come to your house. I pray, God, tonight that you would bind the devil. You'd bind the demons of hell and every thought, wicked thought, every wicked anything in this place. God, I pray you'd get it out of your way. If it be in me, move me, Lord. I pray, God, that I would decrease so that you could increase. Lord, I pray that you'd get completely the increase this morning, and that you're being magnified, you'd be glorified, and you'd be lifted up. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach on the thought of just this revelation here in the church of Laodicea. I do not preach this arrogantly at all. I do not preach it arrogantly at all today. I preach this to you to let you know that in this day and age, we still have a place called hot hell. We still have a place called hell that is very hot. And we also still got a people called the church that is very cold. Amen. It's very cold. And did I say that this church specifically? No, I sure didn't. I never said that this church specifically. I think it's one of the greatest churches, if it were my opinion. But I do believe we could get more on fire for God. I believe we could get more on fire for God. Hell is still burning. Sinners are still dying and going there. And here we are sitting in the corner, waiting for Jesus to come. Amen. Just waiting for Jesus to come. Why are we sitting in the corner and waiting for Jesus to come? We got work to do. Amen. We got work to do. Jesus was speaking here to the church of Laodicea, which is the seventh church in the dispensations, the seventh dispensation, the seventh church in the dispensation, the most wicked church in the dispensation. Do I believe we're at the church of Laodicea? No, I don't. I don't believe we're at the seventh church yet. I believe we're at the sixth, and we're getting ready to go into the seventh. The sixth has been here ever since Stephen looked up and seen Jesus standing on the right hand of God. That's when the sixth dispensation started, and that's the dispensation of rapture at the end of it. And I tell you right now, I believe the rapture's coming soon, and then the tribulation's going to happen, and we're going to be in Laodicea because the church is going to be no more. Everybody else is going to be no more because the church is going to be gone. But I tell you, Laodicea is a wicked, wicked place, and we don't need to get there. We don't need to get there, but I preach on this thought this morning. As we come into this, and I don't preach this arrogantly, and I do not preach it directly to this church, but I do preach it directly to this church. Amen. I tell you, is that I preach on this morning. A hot hell and a cold church. A hot hell and a cold church. Here in verse 15, it says this, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. He said, I wish you were cold or hot. I don't want you to straddle the fence. You can't straddle the fence and serve God. You can't be on one side and hanging off the other side at the same time. Amen. You cannot fit in with the world and fit in with God. Amen. But I tell you, He knows your works, number one. He knows your works. He is completely aware of your works and of the works of every single church, whether they are real or not. He knows your works. If they're real, if they're Spirit-led, He knows that. And whatever you do, it's on His count because He knows every single thing that you do. You will be judged for your wrong works. You will be judged for your right works, good or bad. It doesn't matter. You will be judged for them. And I tell you is that we live in a world today when there's so much people that's not genuine. There's a bunch of false teachers. There's a bunch of demons. There's a bunch of those people that 2 Timothy chapter 4 is talking about. Where they want to do, they come into church, they tickle your ears, and you leave out the same way you came. But thank God I'm not going to be that way. I tell you, we have a God who puts the cookies on the bottom shelf, and it's easy to reach. And we can get to the good stuff real fast. It doesn't matter if it's in Revelations or Genesis. It's still good. It's the Word of God. And we can go there. We can get it. And we can get it good. And I tell you, if you come to this church and expecting me to tickle your ears today, you're not going to get it. Amen. You're not going to get it. Because I tell you, is that we need this in this day to realize what is coming. How do you know it's coming, preacher? Let me tell you, because the Bible says it's coming. And Laodicea is coming whether you want it to become or not. It's going to become. And it's going to happen fast, right in front of, I don't know if it'll be right in front of our very eyes. I believe the church would be pretty close to be gone. But it's talking of the church here. So who's it talking about? The church. It's simple as that, but He knows your works. He tells them that they are neither cold nor hot. They are neither cold nor hot. Hot would be considered on fire for God. Cold would be spiritually dead. They were straddling the fence here, and He would rather them either be cold nor hot. Cold or hot. One choice, not both choices. You cannot be in the middle. You cannot be lukewarm. Because what does it do? Jesus gets sick and He'll spew you out of His mouth. He don't want that lukewarm crowd in here. He don't want that lukewarm crowd in His family. You won't get there. Amen. You won't get to the lukewarm crowd if you're in His family. But let me tell you something. You'll be hot. You need to be on fire for God. Because in this last day, we're not on fire for God. And we're standing in the corner while everything else is coming out of the corner. Amen. All these other people are bold for their beliefs. All the atheists are bold for what they believe, which they don't believe anything. But they'll tell you real fast. All these other people are bold, but why is the Christian not bold? We're standing in the corner. Oh, I'm just waiting on Jesus to come. That's all I'm waiting on. Well, Jesus ain't going to come right now. But until He does come, you need to do your works. That's what the Bible says. Read the book of James and you'll realize that your works have to be there. You have to be there. It's completely coherent to your faith. You have to have works as a Christian. You have to. Didn't I preach on that Sunday? Wednesday, I think I did. But I tell you, you have to have your works. But we know that God knows them all. So how does He look at you when you do something good or when you do something bad? How does He look at you when you're sitting at home when you could be at church? How does He look at you? It's not very good. I want you to know that. And He may just be a part of spewing you out of His mouth. It's not a way. And it's not a place to be. But what was their problem? Number two. Their problem was this. They were unconcerned. They were unconcerned. A church that is unconcerned towards Jesus will be unconcerned towards the needs of others. Amen. Characteristics of an unconcerned church are this. Lack of love for Jesus. No love to missions. No love to ministries in the church. Don't want to do their part. Prayer, lack of prayer, lack of evangelism, and they refuse to see and accept the condition that they are in. Amen. That's exactly how the church of Laodicea was. How do you know that? Verse 17 says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have needs of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, and poor and blind and naked." They had no clue what they were living in because their minds had been so desensitized by preaching that is tickling the ears. I could come in here every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night and tell you that everything that you do is going to be okay, but I assure you it's not going to be. It's not going to be. And if you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior this morning, you will burn in hell. I want you to know that. See, your blood's not on my hands, whether I've ever seen you or not. Now your blood's not on my hands because I told you that hell is a real place. Heaven is a real place. Heaven is hot and heaven is real. Hell is hot. And I tell you, if you don't go, if you choose to go to heaven, that's great. You need to. But if you choose to go to hell, it's still your own choice. And I tell you is that we have this place in this day where we live in a lukewarm world. If you ask 90% of people probably today if they are a Christian, they're going to tell you they were. Ask them when they got saved, they don't know. I think might have been here. Do you have to know the exact date when you get saved? No, you sure don't. No, you sure don't. All you got to know is that you're saved. But you will remember the rough estimate of where it happened and when it happened. And I promise you, you'll remember what verse you read. I promise you, you will. If you got born again and bought by the blood of the Lamb, then I promise you, you remember the day when the blood of the Lamb touched your life. You'll remember it. Will it be an exact time, an exact date? No. I'm not saying you have to know all that to be saved. You don't. But it's good if you do. It's good if you do. But I tell you is that this church here of Laodicean was completely, their lack of love was for Jesus. They didn't have much love for Jesus. They didn't have much love for anything else around them. They didn't care. They were unconcerned about anybody else's needs. And another thing that they were is this church was completely satisfied with what they had done. They were completely satisfied with being complacent of the things that had happened, satisfied with what they had accomplished themselves. They were satisfied. They didn't care about anything else. They were completely satisfied. You cannot get comfortable and you cannot get satisfied with Jesus. You cannot get satisfied. If you're satisfied with what He's doing for you and you don't need any more of Him, then guess what? You ain't saved. Amen. I need more grace on a daily basis and I need more help on a daily basis. I need more prayer on a daily basis and I need all of this stuff on a daily basis because why? There's one thing about me. My soul's the only thing saved. My flesh is not saved. My flesh is not gonna go into the gates of heaven. But I want you to know something. This flesh here makes mistakes on a daily basis. And if I didn't have the grace and the mercy and the love of Jesus Christ, I wouldn't have anything. And I need it every day. But I want you to know that we live in a day today that Laodicean is right ahead of us. It's right ahead of us. And we do not need to live in that life. We do not need to realize all this stuff. We need to realize our wrongs. We don't need to get satisfied and we don't need to get comfortable. Because if you get comfortable with God, I promise you, He is not going to do anything for you. You cannot get comfortable with your life living for Christ because it says every day to pick up your cross and follow Him. Amen. You have to carry the cross on a daily basis. It's not a one-time thing. It's a daily thing. And we need to realize that in this day and hour, we cannot be satisfied. And we cannot be complacent. We cannot be comfortable. Because in this day and hour, if we get comfortable, I promise you that world ain't getting comfortable out there. They're going to keep on coming. And they're going to keep on pounding. And they're going to keep on coming toward the churches. And if we ain't prepared for it, because we're sitting back and we're comfortable and we're falling asleep on church pews, then let me tell you something. What we're doing in this day is no good. We need to close the doors and leave. Because we're not doing any good. But I want you to know something, that when we go on throughout this day, we cannot get comfortable. This church here of Laodicea was physically wealthy, but spiritually poor. Physically wealthy. I want you to know your physical monetary ways are not what's going to get you into the gates of heaven. It says in the Bible that it's easier for a man, a rich man, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the gates of God. It's easier for that. And I want you to know something. If you look up that whole entire thing, the needle that it's talking about is literally talking about a needle. People can disagree with me, but it literally is. I promise you. You look up the Strong's coordinates, you look up every single thing. It's literally the eye of a needle, and it's easier for a... And what is it talking about by a rich man? What is it talking about? It's talking about the rich man in Luke 16. That type of rich man. It's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the gates of heaven. That's a sad life, but if rich people who have tons and thousands of dollars in their pocket let it overwhelm them and consume them so much, it says that the love of money is the root of all evil. It does not just say money is the root of all evil. Money is good. You need money to live. But let me tell you something. If you love that money more than you love God's house, then you are doing wrong. Amen. But I tell you is that we see on that they were physically wealthy, but spiritually poor, clothed in fine linens, but naked in the eyes of Christ. You don't want to be naked in the eyes of God. My, only concerned about themselves. And we see number three, what makes them sick today? What makes them sick today? What makes Jesus sick today and makes him want to spew out of the mouth? Well, let me tell you something. Empty praise makes him sick. Empty pews make him sick. Singing that sounds good but doesn't have the heart makes him sick. Yes. It makes him sick. Lack of commitment makes him sick. Preaching that is popular to the crowd, not popular to God's Word, makes him sick. Amen. That long-tongued preachers nowadays, these women preachers around the area, that makes him sick. That does not go in any part of the Word of God. Amen. But I tell you, I'm here to please Him. I'm not here to please y'all. I tell you that the preaching needs to be hard sometimes, because sometimes you have to open a gap that you may have been closed and the wounds may have been healed, but sometimes you just have to tear it back down because things got to be straightened up. A church that is more concerned about stuff than salvation make God sick. Amen. Churches that pray, P-R-E-A, on the people instead of praying for the people makes God sick. Churches, a church that looks like the world instead of making the world look like the church, it makes God sick. And I tell you, if you're in on any part of that, then I tell you, you just need to keep on going with God. Back off of that stuff. Don't get in mixed in with the world. Don't get in with the world, because I promise you sometimes that sin door closes and it don't open back up. Your home, might open back up when you leave late at night and you get mad and do all this kind of stuff. But when you go out into the world and you live out in the world for a little while, that sin door might not open back up. Why? What if it doesn't? We're never promised tomorrow. We're only promised right now. At the moment, let's live for the present. Let's not do all this other stuff. But I tell you one thing that we can do. We can get so consumed in things of our lust of our flesh and the lust of our minds can get so consumed and caught up with worldly things that we will completely forget about what God said to do. We'll completely forget about what God said to do. It's easy to get out of church, but it's a whole lot harder to get back in church. Amen. So as a church and an individual, you have to ask yourself this question today. Do I make God sick? Do I make him sick? Do I truly make him sick today? That's the cold church. And in this cold church world, a cold world we live in today, that's what we have to look for. We have to look for that. If you would, and got your Bibles to open, I hope you do, turn to the book of Luke chapter 16. And I'll read something else. In the book of Luke, chapter 16, verse 23, it says, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and Lazarus and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." Once you end there, you end there, amen. Once you end there, you end there. And I tell you is that we see here that the many things that they had there in verse 24, it does say this, it says, "And he cried." We see the first sense right there that he had. He cried. That means he had feeling. That means he had fear. It means he had fear, and fear will be in hell. We talked about the cold church, now we're talking about the hot hell. And I want you to know something this morning is that fear will be there. Fear will be in hell, and your fear for your life for entire eternity, but you can never die. You can never die. And at that point, everybody who is in hell will know they are doomed forever and ever and ever and ever. For eternity. And in the book of Psalms chapter 73, it talks about the terrors that will be in hell. The terrors. And I tell you, it will be nothing but pure nightmares for the rest of your life. Well, I said for the rest of your life, but what I meant to say is for eternity. Because there is no rest of your life, because you'll never die. There's eternity. There's eternity. And then we see number four will be literal fire. There'll be literal fire in hell. Hell has a lot of heat. Hell has a ton of heat, and walking out in the middle of summer, middle of July, has nothing on it. Amen. Has not one single thing on it. But in the book of Revelations, chapter 9, verse 2, it talks about the smoke that comes out when Jesus opens the door there. When Jesus opens the door to the place, to the bottomless pit, as it says there in Revelations 9. But I want you to know something. If there wasn't smoke, then there wouldn't be fire, amen. But I tell you, it proves to us that there is literal fire, because if there were not literal fire, there would not be a drop of smoke, amen. But I tell you is that we can realize it, that place is going to be a place of burning, a place of torment, a place that you don't want to go. Sinner friend, this morning, I don't know anybody's heart in here, but I want you to know something. You do not want to cross the line with God and be cast into the lake of fire. You do not want to go to that awful place. It's a place of torment. It's a place of death. Actually, it's death from here, but it's the second death when you go to that place. But I want you to know that you don't want to end up in the lake of fire. It's eternal. Hell might be just for a little while, but the lake of fire is eternal. And when you get there to the lake of fire after the judgment seat of Christ, you'll be cast into the lake of fire, and that's eternal. As we live in a place today where you will go to hell, and hell is a literal place of burning, and you will be burning there, but it's only temporary until you get to the place which is called the judgment seat of Christ. You'll be judged, and then you'll be cast into the lake of fire. And when you're cast into the lake of fire, there is no more. There is no more of you. There is no more of anything. But I want you to know it's literal fire in that place. It's literal fire. And then we see another thing there in verse 23. "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off." We see that he saw Abraham. That means his physical eyes worked in hell. Can you believe? Can you even fathom? Has anybody ever had their eyes sunburned? I have my eyes sunburned one time, and it was no joke. But I want you to know that you'll be living with that in the rest of your life in hell. Because your eyes will be literally on fire. But you can still see. He saw Abraham from afar off. And he cried to him, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he would dip the tip of his finger in water, for I am tormented, and to cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." In verse 24, it clearly tells you that he was tormented. So that means that he has pain. It means he has agony. That means that he's living in pain. You know, I've heard a bunch of Christians say, and a bunch of people say this thought here. They say, "Oh man, I just can't wait to get to heaven because I'm going to have a glorious body. I'm going to have a new body. And I want you to know something, that's me. I can't wait to get to heaven. I'm only 22 years old, but I still have a little bit of pain here and there. But I want you to know something, that I'm ready for heaven and that new glorious, perfect body, just like the body of Christ. But I want you to know something, that if you go to hell, you're going to be in this same flesh that you are in right now, and it's going to be burning. And you're going to be in torment. And it's going to hurt for eternity. I promise you it will, and I encourage you this morning not to go there." And then we see another thing that he was, "that you may cool my tongue." It means he was thirsty. You ever thirsted for a little while? It's been 4 or 5 hours and you're thirsty, or you wake up in the middle of the night and you're just about to die because you're so thirsty, your tongue's so dry. I want you to know something this morning, that you'll be like that for eternity. You'll be like that for entirety of eternity. And you'll be thirsty for the rest of your life. And you don't want that life. And then we see another thing there in verse 25. "But Abraham said, Son, remember." That means he was thinking. His physical mind worked. He was thinking. And then we see in verse 27. "Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." I want you to know something. He had memories right there. He had the memories of his family at home. And I want you to know something tonight. If you go to hell, this morning, if you go to hell and you end up in that burning pit for eternity, you will remember this day. You will remember your father, your mother, your grandma, your brother, your sister telling you you need to get your butt in church and you need to get saved today, because God is coming back one day. And when He comes back, there will be no more chance of getting to heaven. You will have memories of your family in hell. And you will not only remember the good times, but you also remember the bad. And I want you to know something else, that when you get to heaven, if you're saved this morning, you'll only remember the good times. And you'll remember them and know them just like they was. If He was your father on this earth, He's your father in heaven. If He's your grandfather on this earth, He's your grandfather in heaven. If she's your grandmother on this earth, she's still your grandmother in heaven. That's a blessing to know, that one day that I'll be able to see my grandmother again. I'll be able to see my grandfather again. I never really got to meet him, but one day I will, amen. I want you to know something, that one day I will be through the gates of heaven. And when I get to that place, I want to see every single one of you there. And I want you to know that one day when I see you in that pearly gates, and we might walk through those gates hand to hand, I don't know what order you'll be in or what order I'll be in, but I hope we walk in at the congregation and we say, "Guess what, preacher? We made it. We made it by the grace of God. And one day I will. One day I will. And I want you to go with me." How about that? I want you to go with me. I want you to go with me and say, "Hey, preacher, we made it. We made it to the place that you preached about for all those years. We made it to that place. We made it to this place, and I don't want to be thirsty anymore. I'll be perfect. I won't have any pain. There'll only be smiles. There won't be no crying, because God is the ultimate tear wiper, and one day He will wipe my tears away. Amen. I can't wait to get to the gates of heaven, and I want this one to know that's out here that hell is real. And he needs to know if we have to open the doors of this place today and let them hear it, he needs to know that hell is real. Amen. And you'll see who I'm talking about when you get out there. Open that door. God said to open both of them. Might be the only chance we ever get. I come to you today to tell you that hell is a real place. Hell is hot. And you will see others you had fun with on this earth. But I tell you that there will be no partying in hell. There will be no partying in hell, and you had fun with them here. But you will burn forever. And you will be thirsty forever. You will remember this very day when this old preacher man told you that you need to be born again. And while flames engulf your whole body, you'll be in hell. You'll be there. I told you Jesus needed to come into your life, but you didn't take heed to that calling. If you take heed to it today, there is a way of salvation, but tomorrow may be too late. And what if tomorrow's too late? You will simply wish that you had repented. You will wish that you had repented, and that one day in verse 20 of chapter of Revelations, in chapter 3 of the book of Revelations there, how it talks about that. It says that you gotta repent. You gotta repent and you gotta know. You gotta know that that thing is that when hell comes about, hell is real, you will be there if you're not saved. It says in verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. We gotta repent. We gotta know. It says Paul preached his whole life, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And it is at hand now. That was 2,000 years ago. Do you not think it's at hand now? It is. It is, I tell you. And that hell is real. And in closing, I tell you today that heaven is real. Hell is hot. And if you do not get bought by a price, and you have, there was enough bloodshed on Calvary for you, I just want you to know that. And if you can only realize that hell is real and that heaven is real too. That you will have this place and that one day you will be bought if you don't get saved today. You will have a place in hell and it will be there. I want you to know that you would have wished you would have repented when old Nick told you about Christ. You would have wished you would have repented. You would have only wished that that day would have came. Church, we cannot get too cold when hell is still hot. We can't get cold. Too many churches are closing their doors today because they've gotten so cold to the Spirit of God that they will just sit back, come in, leave the same way they was, and nothing will ever change in their hearts. And they'll be the ones that stand in front of the judgment seat of Christ and say, Lord, Lord, we've cast out demons in Your name. We've done all this in Your name. And He'll say, depart from me. You workers of iniquity, I do not know you. You don't want to live that life. You don't want to live that life because I tell you, it's that we have to realize that there has to be a vision. Proverbs 29 verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And I want you to know, people are perishing from church houses today because no church house has vision. But if it has anything to do with me, I pray that we always keep the vision of Christ in this church. We have little kids in here that's growing up hearing the gospel, and they're listening and they're telling people about Christ, and they're getting born again. They're getting bought by a price, and they're getting all the stuff that they need to go throughout this life. But we have so many churches around here that don't have a burden. And we have kids killing kids at the schoolhouse, and God's people falling asleep in God's house. We have to get up. We have to wake up. We have to set up, and we have to worship up, because I tell you, God's people need it today. The sinners need it today. This world has never been harder to fight a battle on a daily basis. This world's never been this hard. But I want you to know, these kids need it. These kids need hard preaching. You know, in the book of Isaiah chapter 59, it will tell you to preach with a loud voice and to tell them their transgressions. Hey, I'm not here to tickle your ears. I'm not here to make you feel bad. I'm here to let you know I love you, and I don't want you to go to that place called hell. I don't want you to go there. I don't. I promise you. And I tell you, is that too many of these places have lost their vision, and the people have perished. We've got to keep our eyes on Christ. We need to get on fire to help others keep them out of the fire. So keep others out of the fire. And in Revelations, if you would, stand to your feet, Dad. Revelations chapter 3, verse 20, as we read this morning, will tell you that the simple fact is that He knocks on the door of your heart. And if He knocks on the door of your heart, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as also overcame, I am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." He knocks on your heart this morning. You're going to let him come in? He's a gentleman. He's not going to push, and he's not going to burst open the door. But I want you to know something. If you're not saved this morning, you need to be bought. And you need to be born again, because so there it is today. You know, Christian friend, don't let your fire burn out. Don't let your fire burn out. Get truly on fire for God. This church is not on fire as it could be. It's not on fire like it could be, but don't be like Laodicean and think that you are on fire for God. Send a friend, don't leave this place this morning. Don't leave this place today without opening and accepting the knock on your heart. Your heart's door is vulnerable. And you've got to take heed to the calling and the knocking of God. There it is. A hot hell. In a cold church, the altars are open this morning.